T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Boomer Esiason here along with Jerry Recco in the power chair. And, of course, with Eddie and Al and everybody else here at WFAN, what is today? Today is a Yankee playoff day. That's exactly what today is. And I'm telling you, Jerry, good morning, by the way. I can't tell you how excited I am, and I'm not even a Yankee fan, but how excited I am to finally see baseball playoffs and to watch these young Yankees and see how they actually handle the pressure. I want to see Luis Severino go out there. I want to see him handle the pressure. I want to see Judge. I want to see, you know, I want to see Sanchez. I want to see all these guys stepping up for the pressure. And a Tuesday, it's a great day. It's going to be a beautiful night at the stadium. And this is what baseball is all about. This is what you spend 162 days a year just trying to get to this point. And all the trials and tribulations that the Yankees went through this year with all their young players finally stepping up, with Judge having a surge at the end of the year, watching how this team has come together, how healthy they are, and tonight the ball gets rolling. So good morning, Jerry.
Well,
how are you?
Good morning, bro. You know what? I am like you. I am no Yankee fan, and I'm fired up too. Let's get it started. I am excited for tonight. You got tomorrow night with Arizona and Colorado, but for the Yankees tonight, man, you're right. It is going to be – it should be a blast. I'll tell you one thing. Reading all the articles and you watch all the stuff – the Twins have no chance. I mean,
you're going to get that propaganda this way here in New York, of course.
I think everywhere, except maybe in Minnesota. There was one article today, maybe it was Joel Sherman, I'm not sure, who basically points out every statistical category that the Yankees have dominated.
Doesn't matter.
You look at the amount of runs that they've beaten teams by, and it is. It's mind-blowing. And then you look at the Twins, who they basically squeaked through. They were a 500 team in September, and they were the best. Kind of like what you said in July about the Mets. They were the best of a bad bunch. Now, it didn't turn out that way going forward because they tanked at the end. But for the Twins, the best of a bad bunch. The American League was down. They played, if you want to see over their head, I think it's a really good young lineup, the Twins are, but they don't have the pitching. That said, it's one game. And for the Yankees, you know, this team wins 90-plus games. They win 90-plus games. They miss out on the AL East by two stupid games. And here it is. You've got nine innings to extend your postseason lives into Cleveland on Thursday. And if not, it's a terrible disappointment. And one other thing, if they win tonight, to me, season a complete success. They lose tonight, not so much. And think of how stupid that is. We're basing a successful season on one game.
Nine innings. I know, but that's the way it is. And the Yankees have been here before, and this is a different team from the 2015 team. This team has energy. This team has excitement, and this team has expectations. And you could feel it. You could read it. You could see it. Whether it be Starlin Castro, whether it be Didi Gregorius, whether it be Sanchez or Judge or Bird. I mean, you can feel the excitement. And be interesting to see whether or not Joe Girardi decides to not play Headley tonight or Holiday. It doesn't look like either one is probably going to play.
Perhaps.
It looks like Ellsbury might be the DH. Hicks will be the center fielder. And away we go. And Bird will be at first base. This is the lineup that they had hoped that they would have all year long, maybe with the exception of Ellsbury. You know, I think that was probably up in the air, but he's been hot lately. He's been in the playoffs. He knows what the pressure is all about. So does Gardner. So, you know, so this is kind of a mixed match team that feels good. It feels good to me. It really does. I mean, and all my Yankee fans are jacked and ready to roll. It's a playoff Tuesday, and given everything that we went through over the last 24 hours in America with what happened in Las Vegas and the idiot politics that kind of associates or comes with it, you know, this is going to be a welcome distraction. You know, this is what baseball fans need. This is what we need as sports fans, just to kind of, you know, get away for a few hours and watch, you know, the Yankees take on a Twins team that, I guess, you know, it reminds me like when I was a Cincinnati Bengal, we went to the playoffs, and for the most part, we were always the underdog, it felt like, that nobody gave us a chance. In Super Bowl 23, nobody gave us a chance. I think we're 9.5-point underdogs. Now, remember the coach, just Sam Weiss, just continually pounding away at that. You know, we want respect, we want respect, we want respect. And how everybody seemed to, you know, take it up a notch. Make sure you knew every piece of the game plan. Make sure you knew what your responsibility was, because you had to be highly focused in order to beat a great team like the 49ers. I would think that the Twins are the same way. I think the Twins are probably saying, look, man, we got nothing to lose here, man. And really what they're saying is don't let the agita, the anxiety of the moment get to you guys, because it doesn't matter, because nobody's expecting you to win this baseball game. And damn, if it wouldn't happen, if tomorrow morning we come in here and the Twins win, would anybody be shocked?
I wouldn't be, because I think for the Yankees, if they won this game and played in Cleveland, there's no expectation that they're going to win that series. The hope, and boy, it would be something if they did. But if they got to the ALDS and showed themselves well, man, they did a good job. Same thing for the Twins. They got to the playoffs. There is no maybe in Minnesota, perhaps, because they've lost 12 straight postseason games as a franchise, because the last two times they were in the playoffs, the Yankees not only beat them, they swept them, maybe because the Yankees handled them this year. What expectation could the Twins have?
For them, like I would tell None. You, like the same with the Jets. Like the Jets come into the season, everybody says they're tanking. Morris Claiborne says, we hear that, we see that. Sure. It's almost impossible not to, because it's going to be brought up every single day in our locker room by some reporter or somebody's going to put a camera in our face. It's kind of the same thing, you know, like where's the respect?
I agree.
And the only reason, you know, and I hear every now and then you'll hear people say, you know, that has no bearing on anything. I'm like, yes, it does. It has a bearing on a lot of things. And what it really does, it motivates people to go out there and prove others wrong. Meanwhile, the expectations on a young Yankee team that's never been there before. So what do we expect from Luis Severino? Are we going to get the top-notch Luis Severino? Or are we going to get a guy that's going to be so amped up as a pitcher that all of a sudden he loses command of his fastball, his whatever it was, you know, slider, whatever it is. You know, my thing is that's the unknown. That's the great unknown when you get to the playoffs. And that's what youth is. That's what, you know, if he just calms down and goes out and does what he's capable of doing, then I don't see the Twins hitting him. But a couple bad innings, bad pitch here, bad pitch there. And next thing you know, things get out of hand. So that's always the worry, I think, when you're dealing with a young pitcher who's never been through this before.
Now, I look at this. You got Ervin Santana on the other side, who's 34 years old. He is 0-5 at this new Yankee Stadium with an ERA of 6+. He did pitch relatively well last time he was in, but still took the loss. I think there was 2-1 or something like that. You know, for him, and again, this comes back to where everything says, not only are the Yankees going to win this game, the Yankees are going to bury him and just move on. At some point, though, doesn't he have to find it? Ervin Santana with the Angels was a good pitcher. I never looked at him as a great pitcher, but a good pitcher. At 34, he went 16-8 this year. Go figure. A big part of why the Twins are in this playoff game tonight. Don't you think he's got to have one in him to win? And I'm not saying Twins win. What I'm saying is,
six innings, three hits, two runs, that kind of thing.
Well, I think he needs to go 7 or 8 innings. Do you realize Ervin Santana had, I think, the most complete games in the American League this year? He had more complete games than like 24 teams had.
Well, so in other words,
they need length.
But he's a real deal professional pitcher. He's not a guy that's, you know, going to be overwhelmed by the moment.
He won't be, but he's never had any success at Yankee Stadium. And I guess my whole point is, to me, for the Twins to win this game, they need him to go deep into this game, because if you're going to go into the battle of bullpens, it is no contest.
All right, so let me ask you this question. You're a Yankee fan. What's the first thing that you want to see starting tonight starts?
Simple. I want to see a 1-2-3 inning, and then I want to see chaos on the bases. That's what I want to see, because they stole bases last time against the Twins and they did that to them. I want to see Brett Gardner on. I want to see Brett Gardner steal second, base hit to right, 1-0. Don't rely on the home run, which they haven't all season, although they hit a lot of them. I want to see chaos from the start if I'm a Yankee fan.
I want to see Aaron Judge just launch one.
Well, that could,
I want to see him launch one in the first inning and just say, I'm here, let's go.
Right, but that's part of it. If all of a sudden, you know, maybe he doesn't hit a home run the first inning, if Aaron Judge just has good at bats and a line drive single up the middle, all of a sudden you're up 1-0, two batters in, I've got to think the Twins are like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I mean, we can't even get through the first inning.
Watching a few of the interviews with Aaron yesterday, trying to just figure out, okay, is he overexcited? Is he you know, he seems to be pretty matter of fact of this whole thing.
Yeah, young and dumb.
Well, I don't say dumb. I mean,
in
just
a good
young.
Way.
Why you just say? Why you just
way.
Say young and inexperienced and not knowing
rhymes.
And not knowing what
that's
he doesn't know
phrase.
Yet? You know
that's
what I'm saying? Like this is the
phrase.
First time around, and you know, I also saw a number of articles saying this is the time where he has to shine. I'm like, God, we all understand that. I mean. He is a kid. He's had a great season. He's been a great reflection of how you do it. He's never been where he's been, but he's acted like he's been there before.
Yeah, he does.
And that's the thing that I can really appreciate, you know, as an older fan and watching, you know, how he plays into the tradition and everything and how he gives reverence to the players, you know. Like I was saying last week, do you think that Odell Beckham Jr. knows who Wellington Mara is? Do you think any of those players over there, other than Eli Manning, know who Wellington Mara is?
I hope so.
Do you think they know what he did for the league and how he basically shared everything that he was making because he had the most popular franchise to make the league what it is today?
I would hope so, but I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I wonder. But the one thing about Aaron Judge, and it's easy to know who Babe Ruth is and Lou Gehrig is and Joe DiMaggio is. Hell, if you're a baseball guy, you got to know who those guys
sure.
are, right? But he always pays reverence back to them, which I think is like for older fans is one of the reasons why you would love a guy like that. You know, like if Kevin Shattenkirk, for instance, signs a big contract with the Rangers, where's number 22? Why does he wear number 22? Because his idol growing up was who? Brian Leach. You know, and he can't get number two, so you might as well double twos on your back and take it from Nick Holden, and Nick Holden's great to give it to you and all that other stuff. But that there's something that, you know, fans of older
nobody years, cares about hockey.
Shut
Boomer.
Up, Bobby. Older fans appreciate that. You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand.
I don't know
he's
why.
A throwback.
So when I say
why.
It in regards to football and hockey, I'm trying to give you two different areas where the players get it and where they come from.
Right.
And I think Aaron Judge is one of those players, and that's why I think he'll be fine. Out of all the guys, he's the least guy that I worry about.
I don't actually worry about anybody in the Yankee team. I don't. I mean, when you look at them, do you think Didi Gregorius, the moment's going to be too big for him this
no,
year?
No, not at all.
There's no way it will. You think Starlin Castro's phased by this?
No, not
Brett
at all.
Brett Gardner's been through this already. He's
yeah.
won.
You
know,
go right down the
Jacoby
lineup.
Jacoby Ellsbury. This team, you know, again, it comes back to Brian Cashman and the way they retooled and – We were looking at the 2000. I was looking at the 2015 roster when they played the Astros a couple years ago in Dallas Keuchel.
You know what they say? It was tired.
It was tired, and it was older, and
tired.
It was slower. And you look at the turnover and the transformation in not 10 years, in 2 years, and it is mind-boggling the mix of good veterans and the youth and the speed and the arms and the bullpen. It might be, and again, I don't think this team is going to win a World Series this year. But my God, next year and beyond, look out because they are primed for such a run. It's ridiculous because of the way they're constructed.
Well, you see what young players do. Okay, you want to talk about energy?
Energize.
Odell Beckham Jr. is energy personified. May and Adams for the Jets, energy personified. You know, Landon Collins, when he got here, and you know the first year people were wondering, okay, what do we got? And all of a sudden he comes out and he's an all-pro guy. And I know they're 0-4. But there's that youth and there's that energy that just kind of excite. Like, I remember my last year, and I think in the NFL, we had a bunch of young guys on Cincinnati. And all I had to do is just get the ball to them. And they could do a million things with it. It wasn't all had to be throw the ball down 50 yards down the field. It could be just throw the ball 5 yards at the line of scrimmage.
Like Beckham is.
Right, and they're going to go make something happen. And as an older quarterback, there's nothing more that you can appreciate than the energy that young players bring. And I would say that across the board in all sports, and I think that's what you're seeing. So tonight, front and center is going to be the Yankee youth that is going to be experiencing this type of pressure for the first time.
I feel it. I can sense it in you.
Yes.
You're energized by the Yankee youth.
I am because it's real baseball. It
is
means
real baseball.
Something.
The next 2 weeks, next 3 weeks, whatever the case, going through October, with the teams that are in it, whether or not the Yankees are there for longer than a week or two or whatever, one night, it should be a lot of fun. Now, I understand we're not going to give too much of a damn if they're out, but for a baseball fan, there's a lot of youth in this game right now. It starts tonight, and it should be a lot of fun to watch. You're fired up.
Boomer is fired up for baseball, and it's
not the Mets.
You know what? After everything that we all dealt with yesterday and we'll deal with today and the front pages of the paper and the sadness and the heartbreak that has gone out on in Las Vegas and just the mind-numbing thought process that goes through doing something like that and affecting so many people and the insatiable, I think, desire for all of us to really have more answers And you know, you constantly get wrapped up in that. This is going to be a welcome distraction. The football game was a welcome distraction last night. But like, it's always going to be there, that this terrible thing that went on in Las Vegas. So I don't know. My heart was broken. I'm sure like everybody else was. But baseball's here. It's a playoff game tonight. This is our world. This is what we do. This is what we talk about. And I'm like giddy over the younger players experience this for the first time.
I want to go to Cleveland with Chernoff.
Yes.
I want to go to Cleveland Thursday.
Yeah, okay.
Let's
no, I'm
go.
Not going
Yankees
to Cleveland.
Win this game and let's go to Cleveland.
I'm not going to Cleveland, but
come on, Boomer.
Chernoff is sitting there going, we got this. We got this.
No.
We got this. No, you don't have anything yet. Just relax. Let's just get through this game tonight and figure it all out.
Yes. Well, one game at a time. One inning. Right? One game.
One inning, one pitch, one game,
that's
whatever.
Exactly.
And, you know, this is like, I'm exhausted this morning, and I love being exhausted this morning because last night was a great football game.
It was.
It was a smash mouth, in your face, Kansas City,
and you know
Arrowhead
what?
Stadium, two teams going toe to toe, quarterbacks that mimic each other the way they play, drop passes, great plays, tackles.
Travis Kelce was awesome.
Yes.
And I know we're not going to do a lot on this game because of the
Yankees. Why not, man? It was
but
awesome.
Can we stop saying that Alex Smith can't throw the ball down the field?
Yeah, he can throw the ball down.
He had some pinpoint throws last night.
Just so you know, the reason people say that, it really goes back to last year's playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I get it.
He had guys down the field, and he just wouldn't pull the trigger for whatever. Now, it may have been because it was a playoff game.
Perhaps. He's pulling the trigger
playoff now. Playoff games, just like tonight, is a playoff game. Things happen differently. Everybody tightens up just a little bit, and you got to find your happy zone, so you just relax. I think Alex Smith has found his happy zone this year.
Good for him.
Where he can now relax. He knows the reality of the situation. He's got a stud rookie quarterback sitting behind him who is a man-child. And it's just a matter of time before that kid leads the Kansas City Chiefs, whether it be next year or the year after. But Alex Smith is getting the most out of what many people think will be his last year in Kansas City. And that was just a great football game last night. It was a great way to end what I thought was a tremendous weekend of football. And for the most part, I know that there are some people around here whose teams lost, and they're not happy about that. And also out comes the news, it looks like Derek Carr now is going to be out maybe a month.
He's got like 2 to 6 weeks, I read.
Like
that's
a little
a weird
fracture
window.
In his back.
Yeah.
So I think it's more like a month, 4 games.
Right.
So now you look at their schedule and you look at who they're playing and who's going to benefit from this, because this is how the league changes right in the middle of the season. A player of his caliber is gone. He's the leader of the team. I think EJ Manuel will be, you know, a serviceable backup, but he's not going to be what Derek Carr is. As he takes a vicious hit by the Denver Broncos, and they thought it was lower back spasms, but
it
turns out that he has a minor fracture there.
And Josh Norman got hurt last night too; could miss a few weeks as well.
He's got ribs,
right?
And you know, but this is the NFL; it's a war of attrition, and that's why. Okay, we're a quarter through the season. There are some really great stories: the Rams and the Bills being two of them. But where will they be 4 weeks from now? What will their teams look like? What will their injury situation look like? And can they keep it up? You know, I hope they can. Because I think having the Rams and the Bills in a weird way in the NFL, playing the way that they're playing,
opens things up for everybody. It really does. The teams you didn't really expect this soon.
Yeah, but just great, man.
It
just
is
to
good.
See new faces and young players and young coaches having impacts on these players. I mean, it's just, you know, our game's in a good spot too, I think. You know, taking away all the sideline crap and all that stuff. The game is good. It's healthy and it's fun to watch. And hopefully,
so will tonight. It's
yes.
a Yankee Tuesday. And guess what?
What?
Sweeney Murdy's coming on.
Yes.
We got Sweeney. We got Al Leiter. That
Al
means
Leiter.
It's a Yankee Tuesday.
It is a Yankee Tuesday here, everybody. It's 6:18 on the Fan, coming to you from the Investors Bank. You know, as a non-Yankee fan, but a baseball fan, I can't wait to see what these kids do in their first playoff game.
By
tonight.
The way,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.